All right, good morning, everybody. Let's stand together. We're going to worship our God together in this place. The book of Psalms says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that's where we've come today to worship our God. Let's sing this hymn. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display.
Then sings my soul,
then sings my soul. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
And when I think,
shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart?
What are we gonna do?
Then I shall live.
About the greatness of our God, his great power, and his great love demonstrated on the cross of Jesus Christ. So let's sing about that deep, deep love of Jesus together.
And oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, best unmeasured, boundless free.
watches over his loved ones,
and how he watches over his loved ones. He died to call them all.
The love of God, the peace of God that the Bible says transcends, surpasses all understanding. Our God is great. Would you join with me and say amen to that promise? He is great. There's nobody like him. Lord, help us to experience, to taste and see of that great, wondrous, marvelous mystery of your love. A love that surpasses understanding, that words escape us when we think about it, but that leads us to sing a song and worship and lift our hands because it goes beyond what we can comprehend or imagine. Let's sing, and all the earth will shout.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Right now, all the earth,
and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
All the earth's gonna shout your praise,
and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great.
Like our God, there's no one like our Jesus. You know, I'm going to ask you to do something that we don't normally do, and I know for me it's really hard, but the book of Psalms, a number of times the psalmist calls us to shout unto God in celebration in a voice of triumph. And it's not just yelling, although you can just shout God's goodness and say, yay God. But if you're looking for something to say, just say, thank you, God, for your goodness. Holy is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Thank you for a brand new day. our hearts are so easily given to complain. A shout is a way for us to shake ourselves loose and to say, wake up my soul to the goodness of God in this moment. So let's shout now, just for a couple of seconds, the goodness of God. Shout it to God. Lord, we love you. We bless your name in this place. For only you are worthy of our praise. Worthy is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Holy are you, Lord. Holy are you, Lord. It's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out.
Great are you, Lord. Then sings my soul.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul.
Greatness of our God. Would you pray with me? So, Lord, we've been singing about your works and of your word and of the truth of your word, and we celebrate in this moment that you are present with us. We sang, it's your breath in our lungs. So even now, as you take a breath inward, would that be a remembrance to you, a sign of God's life, of his provision, of his faithfulness? The Bible says that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator and the sustainer. God is not yet finished with his story of redemption that you are a part of. So in this moment, as we gaze our eyes upon you once again, and as we fix our heart's affection upon you, we ask that we would be transformed and renewed and washed by the power of your word, that we might be a people transformed by the living hope of our crucified Savior. It's in his name we ask. And we pray that in all that we might say and do today, may the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. You guys can be seated. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never fail me, yeah. Let's declare it together. Your promise still stands.
Your promise still stands. As great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. Cause this is my confidence. You never fail. Yeah.
next verse in faith. I know the night won't last.
'Cause I know the night won't last. 'Cause your word will come to pass. 'Cause my heart will sing your praise again.
Jesus, you're still enough, yeah.
Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again.
Your promise still stands,
your promise still stands. As great as your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your. This is my confidence. 'Cause you never,
your promise still stands.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never.
We sing it in hope. I've seen you move.
I've seen you move. You move the mountains, and I believe. I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way, and I believe. I see you do it again. I see you move. You move. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail.
Your promise still stands.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me.
Yet I never will forget.
And I never will forget that you never fail me.
Oh, I never will forget.
I never.
Can we do that for a moment? So quickly, we're prone to forget God's faithfulness and his goodness. So just take a moment. Think about just one of the many times where you felt like things weren't going to work out, where you felt so hopeless. But that God came through and he provided. Just remember one thing. And then hold it in your heart and offer it to the Lord. And say, Lord, I remember. I remember that you have been faithful. And that we can trust your word that you will be faithful. Let us not to forget your grace. great works among us, in us, and through us. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus went and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree.
His body bound.
His body bound and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance by heavy storm, Messiah stood in the room.
So we sing, oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forever.
Together and sing, oh praise. Forever.
Welcome. My name is Coley. If you are new or visiting, I just want to extend a special welcome to you. It's so great to have you in this space with us. If you are new and you want to get connected in our church, there are on the seat backs in front of you, there's little connection cards. I just want to encourage you to fill one out, and a pastor on staff will follow up with you. We want to help you get plugged in. There's also a new person's table in the lobby, so if this is your first night, welcome. You can stop by there. And also, if you're joining us online, welcome. So grateful that you can be with us today. So anyways, I have a few announcements for us. The first one I'm super jazzed about. This Wednesday is the Christmas sing-along for our women's gathering. So if you're a lady in the house, I'm inviting you Wednesday night, Tommy Walker. We're going to rock out to Christmas music. And at my own request, there's going to be churros after. So somebody in this place should be excited about that. Even if you're dieting, it's holy ground. Holy ground doesn't count. Doesn't count. So that's what I always say. So anyways, ladies, please join us 7 o'clock in this space. You can RSVP for that online, but we'd love to have you here as we just get ready and prepare our hearts to receive a king. So I'm inviting you to that. And the next announcement I have, we have a lot of parking available at CA, and you might be wondering, not the lot that I was in. Exactly. We have additional parking spaces that we've reserved in different parts of the city. So there's 3 additional parking lots I just want to make you aware of. There's the large orange building across the street on College View and Colorado. There's the Eagle Rock Plaza where Target and Macy's is. And then there's also the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pay for parking in all those spaces. And so if you have a hard time parking, I want to encourage you to park in one of those and save spots on campus for families with young children, anyone with disabilities, and anybody who's new and visiting for the first time. So just wanted to remind you of that additional parking offsite. And so now is the time of our service that we get to give back to a God who's been so generous to us. It's our time of offering, and we're back to passing the baskets, which is awesome. So ushers can come on down, and if you want to give online, you can go onto Christian Assembly, our app, or on the website and click the Give tab. But if you're a visitor or guest joining us, please feel no obligation to give. We're just excited that you're here. So let's pray. Will you bow your heads with me? We'll invite God into the space. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is for us. You're God Emmanuel, God with us. And so, Father, during this Advent season, we invite you to be our hope, to show us what it means that you came down to earth as a tiny baby to save the world, Father. And so we just are in awe of who you are, and we invite you to speak to us, God, that you would inform us of who we are called to be based on who your Son, Jesus Christ, is. So, Father, would you be glorified in this time? In Jesus' name, everyone said.
Hey, I want to welcome those of you who are joining us online. It is so, so good to be with you. If you're a visitor or guest, my name is Tom, and of course, to my CA family, great to be with you as well. Well, in a moment, we have the privilege and honor of hearing Julie Boyd speak, but I want to address 2 housekeeping items for you to know just to help us do some logistics. The first is just a point of celebration. 2 weeks ago at our Thanksgiving celebration services, we had 40 people make some type of commitment to Christ and fill out a card. And so if that's you, you made maybe a decision, recommitment, maybe you said you wanted to get baptized. I just want to say, way to go, way to go, way to go. And that's a point we can all applaud, right? That's exciting. And if you were somebody who invited someone, maybe your friend responded, family member responded to the gospel message, way to go on inviting. Want to remind you as well, for our upcoming Christmas and Christmas Eve services, we'll be using those same response cards. I'll be speaking and calling people to respond to the gospel. And so I want to encourage you, church, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you would be praying and thinking about who are you going to personally invite to come be with us on our Christmas as well as Christmas Eve services. Speaking of which, we've been announcing this, you've been filling out cards, but we have Christmas services, we're calling them our Christmas services, on December 18th and 19th, and we're calling them the Christmas Eve services on the 23rd and 24th. Specific to the December 18th and 19th weekend, have some really great news. So many of you RSVP'd for Saturday night that we don't have enough seats for you. So here's what we're going to do. We had more people RSVP than we have seats available. So we are going to be adding an additional Saturday evening service at 4 p.m. And I'm going to give you some instructions about this. And so you're going to need to listen and pay attention, okay? Here it is. If you are a parent of a 6th, 7th, or 8th grader, we will only be running 6, 7, 8 at the 6 p.m. service. So that means we want you, if you RSVP'd, to come to the 6 p.m. service, because that's when we'll be running 6, 7, and 8. We'll run Kids Church, birth to 5th grade, at both of the service times. Now, if you're a parent, you're going to come at 6 p.m. But everybody else who's not a parent of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders who filled out an RSVP, we need to roughly break you into two groups, half of you coming at 6 p.m., half coming at 4. So you're sick of filling out cards. We're sick of giving you cards to fill out. So kind of here's how this is going to work. You ready? Think about the initial letter of your last name. You got it? That should be an easy one. And this is where you got to pay attention. If your name, the last name, if your last name begins with the letter A to K, we're asking that you come at 4 p.m. If your name begins with L to Z, we're asking that you come at 6 p.m. A to K, 4 p.m. L to Z, 6 p.m. Parents of 6th, 7th, and 8th graders at 6 p.m. Now, I know what some of you are already thinking. You're thinking, I can't come that time. I have dinner plans. Are you going to ask my name at the door? How's this going to work? No, we're not going to ask your name at the door, okay? We're not going to ask your name at the door. We're just trying to roughly break the RSVPs in half. Does that make sense? Because we want to make as many seats possible. And typically, what we've discovered is the attendance is actually higher than the number of RSVPs. So that's why we're multiplying the services and adding the 4 p.m. So if you have any questions about that, just listen to the announcement again online because I made it really clear for you, right? Okay. Now we're going to move to just introducing some of you to Julie. Maybe a number of you know her, but others of you, you're brand new and you don't know who Julie is. And so I'm excited for you to get to know her a little bit and hear what God's word is coming through her. So would you welcome Julie Boyd as she comes up? So, Julie, we're going to do a little interview. I know for many of us, we know you, but not everyone. We have a number of new people who are new to our CA family, so we want to let you share a little bit. How did you first get connected to Christian Assembly?
I was a student at Azusa Pacific.
I was a student at Azusa Pacific, and I started coming here with my brother and sister around 2000.
Around 2000, okay, so about 21 years ago. And at some point, obviously, you went to Kenya. And what year did you decide to go to Kenya long-term? So not just the initial short-term trip, but...
So I moved to Kenya in 2004, and I thought it would be for about a year.
Okay, moved 2004, thought you'd be there about a year. You originally went, if I have the story right, with an organization, in connection with an organization called ELI, Empowering Lives International. You served with them for a bit, but then eventually God laid it on your heart to found The Living Room. What year was that? And for those who don't know what The Living Room is, give us maybe a couple sentences on what is The Living Room.
Sure. So I had been living in Kenya for 5 years and started The Living Room, which is a ministry with a mission to serve those who needed hospice and palliative care and to do it holistically, so looking at the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of people. We started very small, and it has grown exponentially over the last 12 years.
So you started it 5 years after you went, so about 2009 or
yeah.
So. Yeah. And then what year did you build the original facility, you know, Kimberley?
So we opened the 24-bed hospice in Kipkaran that serves adults and children in 2011.
And then I referenced, because I met Kanji at the opening of the Eldoret campus, what year was the Eldoret campus open, and explain why you felt it was necessary to open in Eldoret as well.
So when we started in Kipkaran, I thought that was the entire, that was the vision. And it grew and people needed service. And so in 2015, we began to look for land for a second site closer to a larger town where there was cancer center. And we just really felt God's leading to do that. And so have this beautiful property that, you know, CA, you have been a huge part of building this space and allowing this hospice that has 49 beds and is serving so many people.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, the decision was made by our council because of your ongoing generosity. Christian Assembly gave money for the original campus in Kip Karen that they referred to as Kimbalio, which I think means refuge. Do I have
it
that right?
Refuge.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so we gave money for the original campus. Mark and I were there as part of the opening for that. But when this expanded vision came, Eldoret, I believe, is the third largest city in Western Kenya. So to serve even more people, they needed $1.2 million. And if you haven't heard the story, I remember, Julie, I said in my office, well, how much are you wanting CA to give? And you said, well, I'll let God answer that question for you. And I was like, all right, anybody other than Julie, I would say, no, give me a number. But we took that as a council and we prayed about it. Ultimately, unanimously, our council decided because of your generosity to give the full $1.2 million to allow for the Eldoret site to be built. And so that was built and it was opened in what year?
In 2019.
2019. And I was there for that. Albert was with me. It was fantastic and amazing. Fantastic work is happening. Well, on your seats on the way in, there's a book that Julie wrote. It just came out, and she's giving it to us all as a gift to just thank us. And so can we thank Julie for her generosity to us? And Julie, just say a word about the book.
So some of you will remember from 4 years ago, Ryan was in the middle of transplant. Our son had bone marrow transplant at UCLA, and I spoke on a Saturday night, and the following day he became terribly, terribly sick. And you as a church stood with our family in a way that I will forever be grateful for. And when Ryan survived and came out of the ICU, I asked a friend, what do you do to say thank you to the doctors, to the team who helped to save your child's life? And they said, you can never repay them, but you write them a letter and you say thank you. And so I think of this book as my long letter to everyone who walked alongside of us, and that includes you in such a significant way. And so Titus and I wanted you to have a copy of this so that you could see the whole entire story of what God has done and the ways that he worked in our family and beyond, just to see incredible things happen.
You know, I got an advanced copy of the book. I read it. I could not put it down. And Julie, I know I speak for all of everybody who calls CA home. You're family to us. We love you dearly. We're so excited and honored and privileged that you've allowed us to walk out this story with you. Church, will you pray with me as we prepare our hearts to hear from Julie what God's word is through her? So, Lord, we thank you now. Would you open our hearts and our minds to all that you want to say and do? And Lord, we thank you for all that you've already done and all that you've already said. And I still stand in astonishment of how you continue to unfold this remarkable story of knitting our hearts together across the globe for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. As Julie prepares to come to speak, would you take a look at the side screens?
If these words could talk, the stories they would tell, the lives that have been transformed, legacies of those who have passed honored, and hope of many restored. What do you see? Can you hear it stirring? Love. Love that fills these halls. It holds hands with those in suffering, provides care for those in need, offers praise in celebration and embracing pain. love saturates into the community beyond these walls. Life happens in this space, in the sacred balance of joy and sorrow, honoring lives of all who enter, and offering hope to all around. Do your eyes see what I see? Can your ears hear what I hear? If these walls could talk, they would tell too of your sacrifice, stories of generosity, and a shared mission to love every day.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The first words of the Bible are, "In the beginning, God created." The first words penned by John, a friend and student of Jesus, years after they had walked the dirt paths together, after witnessing the miracles and the teachings, but also after sharing meals together. There were moments filled with awe and wonder, but also those of disappointment and failure. John's reflection, his retelling of the story, started with the same phrase that Genesis begins with: "In the beginning was the Word." John goes on to say, "The Word, Jesus, became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." Right after this prologue, John tells about another man named John the Baptist, who had been sent by God to prepare the way for the Messiah, for Jesus to come. John the Baptist points out to others that Jesus says, "I'm not the Savior. I'm not even worthy to untie the laces of his shoes. Look to Jesus." John the Baptist tells two of his followers, "Look, there he is, the Lamb of God who has come to take away all the hatred, the selfishness, and violence that's within us. He has come to show us a new way, to replace our fear with love." The two disciples, they heard him, and they went after Jesus. And Jesus looked over his shoulder and said to them, "What are you after?" It's like he was asking, "What are you looking for? What is it you desire?" And they said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying? Where do you live?" And Jesus replied, "Come along and see for yourself." They came, they saw where he was living, and ended up staying with him for the day. It was late afternoon when this happened. The first words Jesus spoke to his new followers, Andrew and John, the writer of this text, was a question. What are you looking for? What do you long for? What do you hope for? It's a big and important question. Jesus asked it again similarly in another story. One of Jesus' other followers, Mark, tells us of a blind man called Bartimaeus. It says, "And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus on the road." I think this clarifying question is still available for us today. What do you want? What do you hope for? What do you want me to do for you? there's vulnerability and desire in identifying and articulating what it is we hope for, what we long for. And Jesus invites us with his question to dream. I imagine Andrew and John were surprised by Jesus' question. Instead of answering, they responded with another question: where do you live? I don't know if they were evading the question or not. Perhaps their question was saying to Jesus, I want to spend time with you. I want to listen and to learn and hopefully be changed because of you. And Jesus kindly and hospitably tells them, come and see. And this moment in Scripture reminds me of the psalm that says, taste and see how good God is. And now Jesus is here, living among them, telling them, come and see how good God is. In the village of Kenya, where my family lives and works, there's remarkable hospitality and generosity. You don't have to schedule dinners or a play date to get together. You stop by, and it's perceived as a blessing. Hodi, we say, I'm here. Karibu, welcome. Feel at home is always the response. And when I read this passage, I can almost hear Jesus saying, Karibu, welcome. So in Kenya, if you wave your hand like this, it's not just a greeting, it's saying, come. And so there's been many visitors who've come and have made the mistake of waving like this, and lots of children come at them. But when I read this passage, I read it thinking of Jesus saying, come, come and see. Come and have a cup of chai. Let's spend time together. When you think of God, do you think of him like Jesus in this passage? Welcoming, inclusive, come and see. Because when Jesus moved into the neighborhood, he was generous and kind, inside and out, from start to finish. The life and the teachings of Jesus were to announce who God is, the unbelievable news. For God so loved you that he came. For God so loved me that he came and moved into the neighborhood. He took on flesh and all of its vulnerabilities to reveal that there is no place that God is not willing to go for the sake of love. And what begins to happen when I trust that I am loved by God? That I too am being asked, what do you hope for? What do you long for? It's not a trick question, but there are layers to it. The world tells us that if we have health and wealth, the right relationship, enough followers on Instagram, we'll find happiness, we'll be content. I think it's part of why Jesus asks the question, because we need to wrestle with the longings of our hearts. Jesus knows that our desire and delight, our joy, is dependent on knowing and loving him. This was John's experience, and through his writings we can see he refers to himself 5 times as the one whom Jesus loved. I've told this story before, but John's understanding of his belovedness reminds me of my friend Betty. I first met her in 2005, months after I had moved from Los Angeles to the village of Kipkaran in western Kenya. Betty was a single mom of 2 boys who had grown terribly sick. In many ways, she had given up hope. Betty would tell us of the story of a night when she was lying alone in her grass, her hut, and she was weak and tired of the constant sickness afflicting her. The grass on the thatched roof was so sparse that she could see the stars. And that night, Betty cried out to a God who she did not yet know, asking him to either take her life so she could rest or restore her life, in which case she would live for him. And shortly after, a friend advised her to go for HIV testing, and she was found to be positive. Upon meeting Betty, our team listened to her story, and we embraced her. Simple acts of love and acceptance introduced Betty to Jesus, and in dramatic ways transformed her life. Although her physical suffering continued and her prayer for daily bread was literal, Betty's faith and courage was multiplying. Months later, as we sat in her little mud hut, Betty and I talked about God, and in a way I will never forget, Betty looked me in the eyes and leaned forward as if to tell me a secret. "I think I'm God's favorite," she said. And it caught me off guard, and all I could say is, "Yes, you are." What happens when we begin to find our identity, our security, in knowing that we are loved? It makes room for us to love. Towards the end of John's book, he records an audacious command given by Jesus. Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." A guiding question in my life, in Living Room's work, is this: what does it look like to love in this situation? Not just with words, but with actions, in our homes, families, schools, workplaces. What does it look like to begin to identify ourselves as a neighbor? For my family, our home is in a village in Western Kenya. Many of our neighbors, they live on less than a dollar a day. And I remember a night when David Tarus, who's one of the leaders of Living Room and our larger community in Kenya, asked me a question over a shared meal of ugali and mboga, which are staple foods of our community. We were sitting with his family, and we didn't have electricity yet, so we were eating by the light of a lantern, and he said with such deep conviction, in a way that I can still feel within my soul, he asked, "Can you hear the cries of the poor?" In 2009, I believe that Living Room was birthed because we were listening to the cries of the poor within our neighborhood. We built a hospice home where men, women, and children come either to heal or to love until they die. Father Gregory Boyle writes, "The original covenantal relationship in the Hebrew Bible went like this: as I have loved you, so you must have a special, preferential, favored love for the widow, orphan, and stranger. God knows that these folks know what it's like to be cut off. And because they know this particular suffering, God finds them trustworthy to lead and guide the rest of us to the birth of a new inclusion, the exquisite mutuality of kinship, God's dream come true." One of the very first patients of Living Room was a lady named Paulina. I first met her while she was lying on the mattress under a tree, and she wore a Disney t-shirt that had somehow found its way from Europe or the US, I don't know. On the shirt, though, was a character of Eeyore, a gloomy stuffed donkey. And the words on her shirt literally said, "Thanks for noticing me." I know the Bible talks of a talking donkey, but I tell you, it was like God was speaking to me through a t-shirt, and I didn't know what to do with it. "Thank you for noticing me. Thank you for seeing me." Our God's love is so extravagant. He doesn't miss anyone. Love involves being willing to interrupt our plans, because God will interrupt our plans if we'll let him. It includes stopping to pay attention, to listen, to learn, to love. And Living Room exists to tell the Paulinas of the world who come into our doors, "You are not alone. You are important. You are loved." The transformation our team witnessed in Paulina's remaining days was nothing short of miraculous. Her disease continued to be debilitating, and we grieved the losses and disappointments with her along the way. Oh, but she was loved. She knew there was a place for her where she was not alone. And I find it difficult to rightfully articulate what happened, but it was like Paulina and her good friend Caroline, another beautiful guest of Kimbilio. It was like they became the queens of living room. There was a sense of nobility that finally got to be on display. A community where the weakest, most vulnerable, they transform us by their presence. Richard Foster writes, "Our God is not made of stone. His heart is the most sensitive and tender of all. No act goes unnoticed, no matter how insignificant or small. A cup of cold water is enough to put tears in the eyes of God." This past year, CA, thanks to your generosity, we were able to renovate our original hospice, Kimbilio. We were able to expand garden spaces and build a new chapel. And on the day of the chapel's dedication, Kimbilio Choir's beautiful singing could be heard far and wide as the words declared, "Ametu Kumbuka," He has remembered us. The choir dressed in matching t-shirts with the words "Honoring Lives, Offering Hope" plastered across their backs. It is the vision of living room that we have the opportunity to live in the most practical and sacred of ways each and every single day. The singing continued in multiple languages, talking about the goodness of God on repeat. As I listened, it was almost as if I could hear the singing of all the patients who we've cared for over the past 12 years, joining in with the choir. Colorful stained glass surrounded us, offering the words in both English and Swahili that we so often need to be reminded of: faith, hope, love, and peace. Sitting beside a 5-year-old little boy in his wheelchair, I was moved by the suffering held within his body, but even more so by the light that remained within his eyes. He sat in a way as if he knew the place was made for him. The same was true for the former college student, now a patient, who sat next to the little boy. Cancer had already taken his left leg and threatened much, much more, but he stood to say, "God is good. This should be our daily word." Patients and staff sitting alongside one another, giving thanks for the gift of this space. There was enough room for everyone to come and belong, welcomed as they are. The brokenness untellable, but so was the abundance of love. In September, our family gathered in the chapel to celebrate with all of our staff and patients the official launch of my new book. And towards the end of the celebration, Jacob, a former guest of Kimbilio Hospice, he wheeled himself to the front and he asked me what the cover of the book meant. And I went on and on about our family's journey with the boys and us being 10,000 miles away from home in search for healing. And he looked me in the eye, shook his head, and said, "The cover of your book, it represents that new life can be found in the dark." And he went on to say, "Because that is what happened to me." And tears filled my eyes, because that is what it's all about. Our desire at Living Room is that we will continue to be a community of compassion that honors life and offers hope, that will keep asking the guiding question, what does it look like to love in this situation? And then we'll do that over and over and over and over again. as we prepare to expand our services at the Living Room Hospital in Eldoret and to include maternity and surgery and ICU and God only knows what else, as we dream about building a family care center for children and their families who've traveled far for cancer treatment to be able to have a place to stay, to know that they are not alone, to know that they are loved in a hard journey. We ask God for favor. We ask God for wisdom, for provision. We ask God to make us a people marked by his love. During this Advent season, friends, hope is not so much about an outcome as it is a process of waiting and aching, of staying in the darkness and realizing that we are not alone. Ametu Kumbuka, he has remembered us. Emmanuel, God with us, has remembered us. And may we be reminded that Jesus, he became flesh and blood, and he moved into the neighborhood. May we experience in a fresh way the news which feels too good to be true. We are loved by God. So I want to close with an Advent prayer that I often come back to. And may these words, may they be more than words, may they become something that we live out in this Advent season. Let's pray. Living God, visit us in this season with your Holy Spirit, that we may get carried away to do obedient things that we have not yet done. Kingdom things we did not think we had in us, and neighbor things from which we cringe. May you act in us, through us, beyond us, more than we imagine, because newness is on its way. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Can we thank Julie for sharing? Yeah. Julie, so grateful for you, and grateful not only because of our shared history, but how you constantly point us to Jesus. In fact, we come to this table, the communion table, the one who was born in the manger, the one who made all things, became flesh. That word incarnation just means in the flesh. And he grew up, and he laid down his life. As John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever might believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." Everlasting life is possible because of God's love for us, shown through the person of Jesus Christ and the laying down of his life. Jesus said, "No greater love has a person than this, that they lay down their lives for their friends." Let me ask you, as we come to this communion table, will you remember, maybe for the first time for some, maybe for others of you, whether you're online or whether you're here with us in this room, maybe it's just you need to remember again that you're loved by God, not just in word, but the word became flesh so you could take the action of the cross so that you could be forgiven, reconciled, and made right with God. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus Christ gathered his disciples and broke a loaf of bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do this in remembrance of me." And what are we remembering? We're remembering that Jesus did not only love us in word, but also in action. Likewise, after the meal, he took a cup and said, "This is the cup of the covenant of the shedding of my blood for the forgiveness of the sins of many. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." If you've never given your life to Christ, I'm going to give you a moment to do that now. You're welcome at this table if you're a follower of Christ, whether you make that decision in this moment or whether you've made it before. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you that you, the Word of God, put on flesh and moved into the neighborhood. that you didn't only love us in word, though you did love us in word, you loved us also in action. Lord, overcome our fears and suspicions, our doubts and angers that would tell us that we're not loved by you. Jesus, you said, for God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever might believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And for some of you, whether you're online, whether you're present with us in this room now, your prayer just needs to be, I believe in you. Whatever it means to be saved, to have everlasting life, Jesus, I want that. You can just say that to him right now. I want that. And because of his work on the cross and his resurrection, that life is available to you by faith. Lord, would you prepare our hearts now to commune with you, we pray in Jesus' name. Whether you're online or present here with us, you can go ahead and take the bread, remembering what Christ has done, as well as the juice, remembering what Christ has done, as Jacob leads us.
Jesus, Jesus, you're the answer to all I'm searching for. Jesus, Jesus, there's no question, you're what my heart is longing for. You're my hope, you're my strength, you're my peace in the stormy sea. You're my life, my very source, my guiding. Wherever I may go, let's sing his name. Jesus, 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 you're the answer to all I'm searching for. Jesus, Jesus, there's no question, you're what my heart is longing for. You are, 'cause you're my hope, you're my strength, you're my peace in the stormy sea. You're my life, my very source, my guiding. You're what my heart is longing for. You're what my heart is longing for. Let's stand together for one last song. Sing like this. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God. Scoffing room in
Applaud God one last time for his love, his mercy, his goodness, and his grace. We say yes to you, God. We'll be dismissed in a moment. If you took communion, just take your empty with you. You can drop it in the trash. Also in the lobby, there's additional invites for maybe people God's laying on your heart to invite to be with us for the Christmas Eve or Christmas services. And will you pray with me as we close? God, we who now have been fed by your body and blood, by faith, by your word and the preaching and hearing of your word, by the fellowship of your Holy Spirit present among us, we ask now, we who have received your love, that you would teach us and give us eyes to see, as Julie mentioned, each moment to ask the question, what does it look like for me to love in this situation? God, draw our eyes to those around us who need to hear your love through our actions and our words. And may it be an overflow of the love that you've given us. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May you go in peace and joy and love to serve the Lord this week. We're done. See you, everybody.